my feet are still cold.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm good, you bro. I'm good, you.
Welcome back, you guys, to another episode of the Bull City Pioneers Podcast. Tune in to your two favorite Latinos. My name is Hector.
My name is Luis.
Today we got another very special guest.
Wonder.
I wonder who that is. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. So it's Wonder, all caps, correct?
Yes, sir.
Just because, you know, a lot of people, well, Hector got that wrong. I probably would have gotten that wrong too, but it's Wonder, WONDR.
I almost messed it up.
Yeah. Cut it out. No, I'm just kidding. But Wonder, who is Wonder? Where did he come from? How did this all begin?
Man.
Also, what's the real name?
Oh, Ryan.
Okay, gotcha.
Wonder started back in college. Right. It's actually me and a close friend of mine. We started a rap duo.
Mm-hmm.
We were just kind of doing it for fun. You know, it was just, we both liked hip hop. We both liked making music. We had a lot of friends that were throwing house shows and parties.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed music and we figured, you know, why not do that for them? So yeah, we were doing that and we ended up taking it pretty seriously for like our last year of college, just playing shows. Putting
what
out
college?
Music.
What college, if you don't mind?
I went to Belmont, Tennessee.
Belmont, Tennessee.
Exactly. Right. And yeah, we were doing that for a while, but we ended up kind of parting ways after college. He was a little bit more interested in like opposite sides of the industry.
Right.
I think he was getting curious about management stuff.
Okay.
He'd been doing music and that stuff for a long time.
Right. Gotcha.
So ended up splitting. My brother ended up coming out and managing me in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm giving the really quick story here.
Right.
I'm skipping a lot of things.
Right. Don't worry. I did watch the podcast. You know, if you guys want to watch the podcast with his brother and the theory podcast, go over and watch it. It's more in depth. It's a more in depth story, but his is pretty cool too. So yeah. keep watching, and then go watch that. But yeah, I kind of
just leave right now.
But I kind of know the rough story from what I remember what your brother said. But yeah, continue. Sure. Yeah.
So he came out to Nashville where I was living at the time. I went to school, and he started managing me, and that was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to really, you know, take the name Wonder and the artist Wonder really seriously as a business and as, you know, an artist in music. And then we started doing artist development, essentially. And for like the past 2 years, we've just been releasing, you know, one or two singles a year, kind of testing it, seeing how it's doing, setting up certain shows, seeing how that goes.
Feeling out the market, basically.
Yeah, getting to understand who Wonder is, the brand, the sound, you know, and understand our audience a little bit better.
And I know that you're also a model, correct?
Yes, I do some modeling, yes.
Side hustle on the side.
That pays the bills. So.
Right. I'm pretty excited about that one that you did with that one recent clothing brand. You were hanging from the basket.
Oh, Perry Ellis?
That was a dope shoot.
That was really cool, because that was my first like modeling thing, but it was actually just for Wonder. It wasn't for the modeling side of stuff. So it was kind of bringing that full circle into my artist career and really creating like our first bigger brand partnership.
Right.
Which was super exciting. I mean, they're a killer brand to work with.
Mm-hmm.
The photos turned out great. Blaine Gretzky, Blaine Butler.
He
came out and shot and he crushed it. You know, and we had Alias Design out there and they were doing some video and they're killing it.
Right.
Yeah, man, that was a cool
thing. Winston, shout out to Winston.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because like after I was vending at this event once in downtown Raleigh and I met Blaine there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started seeing him everywhere. I'm like, where did this guy just come from?
Right.
And he's just like a regular dude, like anybody, obviously. But it's like, I just met you, and now like I'm seeing your work everywhere, and it's like, it's just kind of cool too.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right. He went big. He went hard on that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you moved out to the Triangle. I know that you and your brother, I don't know if it's a partnership between you and your brother, but you guys have a business, or what do you call it, an agency?
It's a production company.
Oh, okay. Gotcha, yeah. A production company.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys signed Leon and AJ as songwriters?
Right? We signed them to our publishing side.
Okay, gotcha.
We kind of helped them with their contracts, and we also kind of pitched their music to synchronization. So basically just like film, TV. We have a I have a scene company that I work with, Whizbang, and we kind of added them on.
Right.
And we handle that stuff for them. And then we honestly, they're just like a team with us too. We do a lot of stuff with them.
I know
it's
you
not
guys
specific to publishing.
Work a lot together, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And not only that, you guys, you know, when you guys get together, y'all produce like dope ass content that is like out of this world.
That
I honestly think is underrated for sure. And I think that a lot of people, if they would see it, they would, you know, they would say it's underrated. But you definitely have the freaking numbers, dude. You have the freaking numbers. That's the thing.
You're
definitely getting up there, which is crazy. Your videos, your listens are just, they're growing definitely. Congratulations because of that.
Thank you.
But what are some things that you do to balance out music, modeling, the what was it called again? The business portion?
Production company.
Production company. Cyber. How do you balance all that? Because I know you like to go hard, right? Just like everyone, on each thing. How do you balance going hard on all those three things, or maybe even more things if you, you know, that you have going on?
Definitely. You know, I wish I went equally as hard on all of them.
Right.
You know, that's really difficult. It's hard to be like all in on, you know, modeling, music, and doing the business side. For the business side, it's good because Sean, who's my brother, manager, and co-founder of Cypher Projects, he handles a lot more of the business side.
Right.
That's kind of his day-to-day. So it does relieve a lot of that stress for me. But anywhere I can help in between there is nice. It's nice to be able to have some hands in it, but I kind of handle more the creative side of the company. So I'm not focused a whole ton of time on there. I spend 90% of my time just working on music. As for the modeling stuff, I took it a lot more seriously in the beginning, and I think that allowed me to establish a name and a career, so I can kind of, I can book more without having to put as much effort in.
Because
in the beginning, man, I was working really hard at that, just trying to establish something. Kind of have to build those relationships again, and you know, have to build a portfolio. So once you do that, then booking jobs becomes a lot easier. So I don't spend as much time as I'd like to on that, but then again, my music right now is definitely the most important thing.
Exactly. In the future, you know, you never know. That could be your bread and butter, and that's it might be your main income, and you know, modeling might be put to the side, maybe. But I mean, it's definitely cool to have, you know, knowledge on both sides, because I know there's like models who, you know, they need they always, you know, have shoots, you know, because for marketing and whatnot, and they suck at modeling. There's some artists that suck at modeling, but you know, that's when the management comes in, and the creatives just come in and, you know, try to guide the artist through it. But it's cool that you know how to model, because you won't have to go through those struggles, man.
Well, I tell you, man, there was a learning curve.
It's funny. No shots, no hate, definitely. But what are some questions that you had after that? I know you had that were in the pot, in the bowl. What did you have to ask them?
So we know that, you know, you've done some like festivals and stuff, and you also do like a lot of live performance shows too. So I was wondering, like, because we were talking about, you know, your music is like your most, like the one thing that gives you the most high out of all the things that you do. So like, you feel more like you gain like more like, I want to say pleasure, but like, yeah, from music when performing in a, like a, at a festival. Because, you know, it's a larger crowd, it's just like a lot more, it's louder, and there's more people. Or like from, say like at the Wicked Witch or something like that, where it's more intimate, and it's a lot of smaller people.
I think the more intimate crowds are definitely like your biggest opportunity to get a hardcore fan and someone really engaged in your music. You know, you have a lot, you're not looking at a bunch of people, you know, you can kind of focus in on these 20, 30 people, and then pick out like 10 of them. It's a little bit easier just to hone your focus. on those shows. And I think those are super important because that's when you really do get to like see the artist raw. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there's all this other noise happening. It's just the artist performing in this small venue.
True.
And super personal. So I really do enjoy those experiences just because it's cool being able to do that, you know?
Right, right. And are you the type of artist, because, you know, I've noticed always that, you know, I always pay attention to this because it's kind of funny to me. There's always the artist that when they're on stage, they move back and forth from each corner of the stage like a shitload, you know what I mean?
I've been there, bro.
And I feel like those are the beginning people, you know?
Right.
Like, give some slack,
no, no, no. I've done it.
Because
that's the thing. I've seen even, like legends do this, you know what I mean? It's, yeah. And sometimes it just depends on, like, how hyped they are or, like, how much, even, you know, how much energy they have on them. Mm-hmm. But then there's the artist who just stands in one spot and just, you know, flows. And, you know, the music flows out of them, but they just stay in that one spot. What type of artist do you think you are? Or if you're both, what determines what you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for sure it's finding a happy medium for me between two things. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain records where just the vibe is right for you to like stand there in front of the mic and just kind of rock out.
Right.
And there's other records that are definitely more crowd engaging that you need to definitely explore the space.
Right.
Yeah, it really just depends on the record, man. It's so important.
Like the mood. Explore the space.
Explore the space.
I like that.
I remember this one show you did at the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
And I think it was the second show that I ever went to or that you were like performing at.
Mm-hmm.
And you came out like playing on the keys, and then like, you just heard it in the crowd. Like everybody's like, "What?"
That's crazy.
And like you were going ham on it too. And I was like, "Oh shit!" I think I'm sure I fucked that up too. I think I never saw you play keys until that day too. So I was like, "Oh shit, okay."
Yeah. But yeah, I like to incorporate the instruments a little bit because I grew up playing instruments and I started on guitar as the person that taught me the music.
Right.
So, you know, I it fell off for a while, me playing those things, because I didn't have the space or I didn't have the instruments with me at the time because I went to college, you know, I had to live in an apartment. Right. It was harder to be able to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you get distracted, you know.
Yeah.
But recently, man, I've just been playing a whole lot. It's nice to get back into it and really incorporate it. And I think it's nice for the fans. I think it gives them something different to listen to and makes them excited to be able to see that. So.
Exactly. You don't see that often either. Like, you don't see
the
instruments.
There's definitely some
like the main
talented people here doing it though.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's a girl who plays the guitar.
Oh, Monica Preston, you've had her on the podcast.
I saw her in Wilmington and
what's the thing called where she puts the tube in her mouth?
That's when that happens
I'm like, bro, like I'm like a kid at a candy store, like, what is that? How did you do that?
Yeah, she's raw, right?
When we first had her and then Winston met her for the first time.
Yeah.
He went nuts.
Right.
He was a fan girl.
He
was fanboy.
That's awesome.
Right.
Man.
Right.
I love that.
It was funny, man. It was mad funny.
That's funny.
So have you ever considered using the little tube thing, or have you tried it and you were like, nah, it's not my vibe or whatever?
Honestly, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
Like, the first time I ever heard that was, I don't know if y'all know Peter Frampton, but he has like this classic song where he would make his guitar talk,
and he would use
that to do it. He'd like be playing a solo, and he'd be like saying what the song was, and I thought it was bad. Like you, I was like, that's the craziest
that's
thing
the
I've ever heard. Like,
right.
But at some point, I think it'd be cool if I really start getting into using the guitar.
Just to try it out, you know what I mean?
It's something. I've always wanted to try it.
Just to have, I mean, even if you don't release music, you know, with that. What is it called again? Sorry.
Talk box.
I mean, it was just, you know, have fun with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, definitely.
So you play guitar and keys.
Mm-hmm.
Play anything else?
Yeah, I play the drums. I played the drums a lot when I was younger.
Right.
That was probably like my main instrument for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been so long, man. I can't have a drum kit.
Oh, really?
You know,
like, really? You'd be able to sit down and like.
Oh no, I could definitely sit down. It'd take me a minute to get back into it, but it was just like we moved into apartments, and then like you store it, and then.
Oh right.
I ended up selling it. That's
right. Not only the regulations at apartments, bro, they're so high.
Yeah. You know, can't
Bro, you drop your phone by accident, and then you know you get a write up or whatever it's called.
Oh, right.
Too much noise, you know, complaints.
No, it's an eviction.
Right.
In my room isolation.
I would totally do that. But what's the second question you had, Anthony?
I was gonna actually reminisce a little bit about like when I was talking about the festivals. Mm-hmm. The very first time I saw you perform was at Summer Days Festival, yeah, and man. I was with Leon and AJ. We had done like a giveaway like, with the ticket, and we brought somebody else with us too, and then we saw you perform. So it was mad dope. I don't know why like I didn't actually introduce myself to you, because I think I was still in like a phase of mine where I was still kind of like hesitant to like approach mm-hmm. people a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
quiet
shit.
Hector.
Yeah, a little bit.
Quiet Hector.
But,
I was
a muscle Hector. Yeah. This audience has no clue of what I looked like before we started this podcast.
Jack.
Please try to remember. Like,
I'm trying to remember. Right, right. I really don't. I really don't, to be honest with you. No, for sure.
But have you done like many other festivals as well?
I haven't done any other festivals since then. We're going out to South by Southwest, March 16th. So I'm excited for that. That's going to be like my first time going down there, and then as well as playing in the festival. That'd be cool.
So if you're down there, buy your tickets, go see.
You're going to be in Austin.
Right, right. And I know that you lived in California for a minute. So what exactly, I think you might have or might have not answered this question. What brought you to the Triangle? Like, why specifically Raleigh? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You know, I just wanted to like ride the coattails of the artists here.
Right.
I just thought that was like the best way for me to get
right. Oh, heck yeah, heck yeah.
No. I grew up in Raleigh. My family's all from here.
Gotcha.
And you know, I was doing music here way back in high school.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Gibbons. Yeah.
Gibbons?
Shout out. Gibbons.
Gibbons.
They're behind
Cardinal Gibbons?
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure everyone knows. Right.
No, it was an all right school. I had a lot of close friends from there, but you know, that's one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people when they're going to be listening to this, they're going to be like, oh, Cardinal Gibbons.
Yeah.
That school. I don't know back then, but nowadays.
No, back then it was the same.
Oh, it's the same? Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, right. I don't know. It's a certain reputation schools get. That's just kind of how it
right,
is.
Right. I went to Durham School of Arts, mm-hmm. and one thing that was always a better taste when we had when we played them in soccer is like, oh, it's all the rich kids and stuff. But like, I'm gonna be honest with you, it was like a group of four guys that I got along with, like, so well when we played. Like, we were like brothers.
Yeah.
And one dude actually contacted me like a couple years later. He was like,
when was this?
Huh?
When was this?
My freshman year in high school.
What year?
I graduated in 2018, so
2014. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
So you're 12 now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
What year did you graduate high school? You don't have to say it if you don't want to.
Nah.
Not on camera.
No, 94 is already on my
camera. Yeah, bro. The people
are always picking up for it. You can kind of make the calculation if you figured out.
You look older with the beard.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looks older than me, man.
You look older than me.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You are 23?
Yeah.
You look 14, bro.
But at least when you're 80, and I'm like 86, I'm
you right. You're right.
50.
Y'all are gonna be like,
yeah. We're gonna be looking way off. I just turned 20, bro. Like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. Thanks, bro. Sure. Bro, I even forgot what we were talking about. To be honest with you.
What were we talking about?
Oh, yeah. So you came to the Triangle. So you grew up in Raleigh. What took you to California?
Music. I think just, you know, you hear a lot about Los Angeles being a good opportunity. I was in Nashville, Tennessee. It was great. I love Nashville. Mm-hmm. I made some of my biggest connections, and you know, I
biggest
learned,
country.
It was a huge
area.
Country.
Oh,
scene,
yeah, right,
sure.
Right.
But I learned everything about music pretty much there, mm-hmm. just in terms of producing and writing. But I needed a scene that was more hip hop influenced, R&B influenced, and you know, that wasn't super prevalent there. I mean, there is a ton of artists coming out of Tennessee, you know, Murfreesboro, Memphis, mm-hmm. Nashville even. But I wanted to go out to LA. I had a sister who lives out there, so I figured I'd crash with her.
Easy.
And we can check the scene out. I had a lot of friends living out there already doing mm-hmm. music. And dude, it was a sick, I loved it. I loved it.
How long did you
there.
Stay? What amount of time?
I was there for 7 months.
7 months.
Yeah, and dude, it was great, man.
Do a lot of damage.
Yeah, it was so so easy to get into, like, just different events and scenes and get to work with other people because everyone's out there trying to work and do things. Mm-hmm. And there's something going on every night, and it's very easy to find. That's why I love it so much. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the craziest thing is Movie Bites in North Carolina has been the best. Best business move for me.
Yo, oh, okay, that's awesome. Because a lot of people, they say, I don't know about if you know much about this, but like, usually Northerners or West Coasters or whatever you want to call them, they usually move to the east side of the country just to complain.
Yeah.
just to go back. Oh my God, like, there's nothing to do here. There's no parties going on seven nights a week. Like, I'm like, okay, I mean, but you couldn't afford rent, so you had to come here. sorry. I mean, we're gonna say how it is, you know what I mean?
Why
do people come over here?
Because the
standard of living is kind of better. I mean, rent is cheaper. Yeah. I mean, everything is much cheaper, so you know what I mean?
Hey, for now.
Don't complain. Right, for now. Actually, no, it is rising. I can't even lie. It's rising. It's freaking rising. Yeah,
we call a lot of smoke.
That's going to be the clickbait.
So how do you feel about the what people are calling the Renaissance in North Carolina? Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, of course?
Yeah, that's a real thing. You know, whatever attention North Carolina can get right now is a good thing.
Right.
I think it's awesome to see how many talented artists are kind of coming together. Not just artists. I'm talking about like everyone in the industry, from radio to DJ, to people doing business, PR.
Right.
It's really cool because everyone's working so hard to keep this wave rolling that has been created. And dude, there's been so many crazy artists that have come out of North Carolina, I think we just never capitalized on it. You know, like Jodeci came out of Charlotte.
True.
You got J. Cole. You got the baby, Petey Pablo. Dude, there's countless people. Like, dude, there's so many. And ASAP's been through here. Like, that can keep going. But it's nice that we're finally, like, taking advantage of what's happening.
And one thing that I feel like it's been kind of like a factor is because other states like California, New York, Texas even, Tennessee, they've all had that platform that served kind of like as a trampoline for artists, underdogs to just, jump, go big, Now, North Carolina is finally starting to have that, what I would call that trampoline, where it's a platform for, underdogs to just go jump, go high, go fucking hard, go crazy, get a, crazy amounts of views and shit. Would you agree with that term that, North Carolina is starting to begin to have that trampoline of a platform that boosts artists, or would you say that we're not there yet?
I think we're on the road to being there. I think there needs to be more business.
Right.
There's a lot of artistry, there's a lot of, engineering, recording, all that stuff happening.
Definitely.
And there definitely are a few like businesses popping up, but I think there needs to be more of that. Like more labels.
Right.
More of those guys coming out and being like, hey, we're signing artists and we're giving them these platforms.
Right.
Because I think that's a thing.
Yeah,
like Atlanta has all these record labels.
Oh,
Chicago has record labels, Nashville's record labels. And I'm not saying like labels are like super important, you need to sign to a label, but it's even the independent labels, that are becoming super established in those areas.
It's definitely like structure, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's definitely structure to the whole music thing in North Carolina. You need structure at one point. Yes, you can, do it another way, definitely. Mm-hmm. People always pioneer a new way of doing things and getting famous, and especially now since you have like YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify, and all these good platforms. But definitely structure as well, and record labels is definitely a form of structure for artists to just start being birthed.
And not just labels, man. Anybody doing like some kind of business in music, I think it's good here. Just outside is performing and stuff.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. So what's the next question you had for?
I was actually interested in it's not even music related. It's just more kind of like likes and dislikes that you have. Likes and dislikes.
Okay.
So like stuff that you're just into.
You're talking quiet again, Hector, bro. Speak up, bro. Sound like a little girl.
I know that you're into racing.
Yes.
You got racing to your own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you been been to the NASCAR Hall of Fame in
Charlotte? I've not been to the Hall of Fame yet, man. I've passed it so many times. I've been to plenty of races in Charlotte, and I'm kicking myself that I still haven't gone there. But maybe it's for like a special moment.
It's a dope little museum. I mean, it's just a little dope. There's definitely bigger ones.
I think you invited me once, didn't you?
Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah, for my best friend's birthday. Yeah. It was pretty dope. But I definitely want to go there. I just explore the whole city.
Yeah.
While I'm there.
You definitely invited me to a race.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Was it Charlotte or Miami?
It was in Charlotte.
I don't know
which one it was. So where
do
you race?
Charlotte, bro.
You want to come to Miami, bro?
Tomorrow,
bro. So tell me more about this racing. Do you build your own car? Do you have a specific?
Oh man,
not at that level.
That would be dope, though.
I definitely want to make that a thing in the future, where I can focus a lot of my time on just getting involved more in the racing, because I really do love it. You know, I grew up driving cars and racing go-karts and just being super obsessed with cars
and adrenaline.
I think I was just obsessed with that, I still am. And I grew up watching the races. You know, I went to a few races in Charlotte when I was really young. I saw a senior race.
Oh wow.
And I think that's like, I just was obsessed with Dale Earnhardt Sr. I don't know what it was, man, but I was like obsessed with him.
And that's also a scene, I don't know if you've noticed this, but that's also a scene. It used to be bigger back in the day, definitely. People say in the 80s, like North Carolina was like a big like racing state or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like reviving, but not like the professional way, the official way.
Yeah.
But now definitely like the underdog illegal way where
illegal way.
Straight racing. right. The pimped out, riced out Hondas and shit.
Wait, did you just say riced out? What did you say?
Riced out, yeah. Bro, it's definitely a thing, man. It's definitely a thing. People are riced out.
Enlighten me, because I don't know what that term means.
So it's like, it's basically Hondas that... You want to explain it?
I'm not going to explain it.
All right.
You have this one.
All right, so basically just...
what is riced out?
Basically, a bunch of guys with shitty Hondas that they try to make them faster. That's the way I see it. I don't want to insult them too much. I've thrown enough shots
today.
I'm just going to say that about it, because I have a couple friends that watch the podcast.
They're going to rip you apart.
So I'm just getting ready for it. You dropped your address, because definitely you're
not. I was not involved.
But
you know what this means now, though?
What?
We gotta go ham at the Frankie's go karts.
Bro,
Frankie's, dude.
Bro, did you grow up going to Frankie's?
I loved Frankie's, but they were like, so it was like Fun Spot, and then Frankie's opened, and then we're like, holy crap, these go karts are so fast.
Right.
And then, have y'all heard of Rush Hour? It's over in Garner.
It sounds familiar. It's go karts too, right?
It's only a go.
You ride the helmets
and the night races. Now they have axe throwing and stuff, but it's the karts go like 20 miles per hour. Oh yeah, they got like the whole. They have like leagues and stuff. Right. I did a lot of that growing up. That was
mad dope. Right? Did you have your own go kart growing up or no?
No, man. I always wanted one, but it just cost a lot of money.
Dude, hell yeah! It's like. It's such a little money, man. Yeah. Like, dude, I might have to get a loan. No, I'm just kidding.
I still have a four-wheeler.
Yeah, get a loan on the car.
I still have a four-wheeler. Yeah,
I wanted one of those so bad, too.
Me and my dad, I think I was like 12, and my dad would take like all me and my siblings one at a time in our backyard. And he would just go like that and down. Like, it wasn't a crazy like track thing.
But back then, it's like, that's sick.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up riding horses.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right.
Wrangler over here, dude.
Right, right. Yeah.
Little Nas X.
Huh?
Little Nas X,
bro. That's funny. But so what are some things that you do when you're not racing or creating music or doing, you know, the business side of things? What are some hobbies? And of course, other than modeling as well, what do you do? Like, what's like a normal Sunday fun day look for you? Or Saturday fun day.
So you call Sunday fun day, it's a race, bro.
Right.
Dude, I really love skateboarding.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. I grew up skateboarding pretty heavy. I was like such a skatehead when I was in middle school. I had like a group of friends that were really into it, and
right.
we did that a lot, but I stopped.
What are some skate spots that you used to go to in Raleigh?
Shit, dude.
Are they still even open?
What?
Are they still even open, the ones that you used to go to?
Yeah, Skate Carry was one of the spots. They didn't have any free like local spots
when
I was growing up. Now, of course, they have them, like in Apex and Chapel Hill. Yeah. But back then, you had to pay. So like it was like Skate Carry, and dang, there was one more.
Are you the type of guy that try to make like a little skate place in your backyard?
Dude, wouldn't believe, man, the ramps that we made. Right. Just like they were just, we called them all like death gaps because they were just like, if you fell in the wrong way,
you built like a half pipe in your
We were building stuff that way, like it shouldn't have been standing.
it doesn't pass code.
We were hammering skateboards in the side to hold it up. Like,
what?
We're using like rails to actually like on the plywood so we can have something. But
damn,
it was a blast.
That's what you call a childhood, my guy. Damn,
dude, we went all out, man, on building.
Yo, and your parents had no issue with you doing that.
My mom was like, "This is a nuisance in the yard." She'd make us take it down at night. We were doing some savage shit.
That's crazy.
I never learned how to like do tricks. All I ever learned how to do was to ollie. That was it.
Dude, that's all you really need to know. Yeah. Man. Cruise and ollie.
Not like a longboard. I can't do a longboard. That thing's go fast.
Dude, those are scary.
Those are scary. I got on one once. And I started going a little too fast. I was like, nope.
I'm out.
I'm retired. That's it. Bruh.
I'm taking that, bro.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But just to start, you know, wrapping it up, my guy. Go ahead.
Because we know, we didn't even talk about it. I don't know why we didn't do it in the beginning, but we had a recent single come out.
We have the most important things in life. We didn't talk about it.
Saving best for last.
No.
We saved the best for last.
Right.
But you had a recent single come out.
Yeah.
It's called Sexy Woe, right? Came out on Valentine's Day, so you want to talk about a little bit like the process of how that came together.
Yeah. Sexy Woe is definitely one of my, you know, more, I don't know how to say it, this kind of out there records. I think it was something my audience probably wasn't super expecting. I dove a lot more into, you know, a different side of me as an artist, more of my relationships and my past, and something that I'm really passionate about. And yeah, I came up with this term sexual just super randomly. I think I was just thinking of sexual in my head. And it just kind of flowed off the tongue. Yeah, maybe I said it wrong. And then I was like, that sounds cool. I can't really, I blacked out, wrote the song.
Oh,
right. No, I'm kidding. Can't remember any of the writing process. But it was a while ago. I wrote it last year, probably like October or maybe even before then. Yeah. And, you know, I've been sitting on the record for a little bit.
It's in the vault.
Yeah. It was all to like leave room for Jungle Juice, so I could release Jungle Juice first. Right. There's a lot of prep for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Sexual.
Love the cover art for that too, by the way.
Thank you.
Jungle Juice looks amazing. I know that took some prep.
Took some photos. We had a really sweet studio. Ryan Pham came out and lit it. We had a lot of other people on there, and dude, that were just killing it. Ben Yellen. Evan was the legs.
I saw the story.
Shout out to Evan.
When you were like, hey, the process is done, I saw like everything going down.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, man. But Sexual is just a record. You know, it's about that kind of experience with a girl who, you know, you guys are really into each other, but a lot of your friends or your family may not be super into it. They kind of want you to break. A lot of people can kind of relate in that sense. You know, I've had relationships like that, and you know, everyone's kind of against you, but that kind of makes your relationship stronger with that person. You want to be with them more because people are saying not to. This is the love right here. We're not, something happened here. I didn't know.
I didn't even know what.
Bro,
I was like, okay.
You might want to cut this part out.
I want to keep it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like there's people there's people that are gonna be against, you know, things that you do.
Right, right.
And sometimes that pushes, sometimes they're right, you know, in this sense they were right, this relationship I was kind of referring to. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, it, just the passion of it was something to write about, and I was excited to write about that, and Sexual was a really cool turn to play off of. And I think it's definitely my favorite record I've made. I'm, like, the most proud of this record. I just think it's a unique sound, and I kind of leveled up in a way in terms of just singing and adding that into the hip hop side for myself, for me, you know, like,
what's your favorite verse of the song? Your personal favorite?
I think it first verse for sure, the intro, just like the fuck with me part. I just, or something like, I don't know, it gets me.
Say the whole verse.
No. Right. I'll let you all figure that one out.
We're just going to put it right here.
I thought it was funny though, like the choice of photos that you like chose to market or promote it over the course of, you know, before its release. Like, you chose pictures of you when you were really little, so, like, where did that come from?
Dude, I was thinking about the Jungle Juice cover art that we did, and I was like, dude, we really went all out, and this is crazy, and it creates a reaction, negative or positive, you know, there's nothing really in the middle that's like, ah. So I needed something that's going to be, kind of create a reaction again, and it could be negative or positive. I had a cover art before then, and I was like, just sitting there right before I was about to distribute it, and I was looking through some old photos on my phone, and I found this baby picture. I'm like, oh, dude, I just need to put it right over that, because it just, it's aggressive, because it's like me as a little kid.
Yeah.
But you got this term sexual, and, you know, it's definitely a more mature term. Right. So it was just, I thought it was funny, man.
Hilarious.
I liked it, yeah.
Right. It's definitely funny. Definitely.
I was like, Little Wonder?
Little Wonder.
He didn't probably know too much about that, you know, back in this picture. No, I'm just kidding. But to start wrapping it up a little bit, what we'd like to leave the Pioneer Nation with is a question or a quote. You get the option of a question or a quote. Me and Hector do the question or the quote. But what are you going to do, a question or a quote? That sounded so confusing. I'm so sorry.
So I'm going to, like, say a quote.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You can do a question or a quote. Or both, actually. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dang, I got to think about that.
But you can do a quote.
A quote would be great.
Okay.
Okay, I got a quote. Sure.
Okay. And what do you want to do, Hector? Question or quote?
I'm going to do a quote because I did a question last time.
All right. I'll do a question. I'll start.
Always go first.
All right, that's cool. Ladies don't go first in this time. It's just so stupid. But
bird in there,
bro. He's just been throwing smoke,
bro. This whole episode.
What's your favorite verse from the latest single from Wonder? Go check out the song and then come back and you know, comment. What's your favorite verse? Right. Okay, Hector.
Stay on your shit. That's my quote.
All right.
Keep it real.
I should have made that my senior quote, actually. Just stay on your shit.
Just put, like, an exclamation point so it doesn't get, like, taken out.
Yeah. Well, I should have done that when I was in high school.
I know this is totally off topic, but my senior quote was, what was it? It was like,
it was something about a girl.
It was something about a girl. It was funny.
Right. It was like, you stole everybody's girl or something.
I was like, it was like, it was in quotes. It was like, oh, heck, you just stole my girl. And this is dash everyone.
No! Oh, my God! Really?
Yeah.
Man, you need to take a picture of that, bro. Oh, my gosh.
No, but the
photo. That would go viral.
The photo was awful, dude.
That's even better, bro. Even better. You need to do it.
Yo, am I getting an album?
I gotta see that.
I'm gonna find it.
Spam the comments if you want to see that, because I want to see it so bad, bro.
I'm gonna come up with the song and do the same thing.
Oh my god, yes. Even better.
Did they let you do that type of shit at Cardinal Gibbons or no?
Oh, dude, I don't even know what my call was. People did some pretty funny things.
Right.
People had some good ones for sure. Right. I'm pretty sure someone said no, Rosa Parks.
Oh, damn. Shit.
It was there.
Oh, shit.
Quote.
Damn. That was hard. Yeah. But what's your quote, man? Sorry, we got out of time.
No, you're good. To quote Ricky Bobby, quoting the late great Colonel Sanders, "I'm too drunk to taste this chicken."
Oh shit!
I like that. Well, thank you again, Brandon, for coming out. 40-minute drive.
No, I'm glad I'm finally able to do this.
Right. No, it's awesome to have this type of person on the podcast. You know, from Raleigh, we in the 919, but we show love to everyone from North Carolina, especially the ones hustling like him. For sure. Thank you again for coming out. Once again, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, everything. Oh, yeah. Well, where can we find you?
Same thing, Instagram. Definitely going to be my main spot.
Right.
Wonder94, WONDR. And then wonder94.com if you want to really get into it.
He has a website.
Yeah.
He official.
Yeah.
Right. But thank you going once again. I'm stuttering. Thank you once again. Damn. I just came from class, man. Class. I do software development. So like when I read or when I'm speaking,
You thank me once again and we do this one time.
Right.
just thinking in COVID.
Yo, I'm always speaking in code language, so it's like, it's a little bad.
1013, thank you. you got this.
All right. Thank you once again, you guys, for tuning into the Bull City Pioneers podcast. Like, comment, share, subscribe. How I said, thank you for once again watching. I'm Luis.
I'm Hector.
Wonder.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.
I totally did shitty on that. That's all right. It's okay. I just came from class.